As I've mentioned several times, I love Christmas lights. I love the decorations. You know, this year we had trouble keeping our lights on. And it's kind of funny because we had an electrician come and redo the electricity. And what they did was is they put this thing called a GFI outlet on the outside so I could plug in my Christmas lights. And it kept blowing this GFI thing. So here Leah and I are out there in the dark, oftentimes in the rain, because it only blew it when it was rainy or moist, looking for the short that's in this line of lights we have outside. And it was getting really annoying. And so, anyway, it made me realize, because in all these years I've put out lights, and let me tell you, I only have a fraction of the lights that I normally put out.
Oh, no.
I have never once considered catching the house on fire with my Christmas lights. But every time this GFI would blow, it made me aware of the danger. You know, there's a lot of things that kind of go wrong around Christmas time, not just lights blowing. And Christmas can just be very stressful. Family gathers to celebrate all in one home, and sometimes they stay for a couple of days, and each person bringing their own personality, and that can lead to arguments and nitpicking. And for some people, the prettiest lights they see all Christmas season is the tail lights of their family leaving. I, like most people, will put away my Christmas lights come the first of the year. I'll box them up, and then we won't see them again for another year. John 1:1 through 14, which was read earlier, is John's version of the nativity story. It doesn't start with shepherds and angels and a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. John's nativity story takes us all the way back to the beginning of creation and of time. It echoes the creation story in Genesis. John 1:1-14 again reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In John's Gospel, the very God who created the heavens and the earth, who breathed life into Adam, is the same God who became flesh and lived amongst us. Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature because he is God himself. This fulfills the purpose of John's gospel, namely to prove that Jesus and God are one and the same. Prior to Jesus' birth, there was 400 years of silence since God had spoken through the prophet Malachi. During this period of silence, the people were straining to hear a word from God, so God sent a word. But first, he readied the world for the gospel. Because of the influence of Alexander the Great, the spreading of the Greek language made communication much easier. Also, because the roads and general peace of the Roman Empire made missionary travel so much less difficult. Finally, there were Jews scattered all over the region of the Roman Empire. Evangelists had synagogues in every place that they would go, which would allow the gospel to spread throughout the area much more easily. The first Christians were Jewish, but the gospel quickly spread to Greeks who knew nothing about the Messiah or the fulfillment of prophecy. John had to translate these concepts of this language for the Greeks who could get the idea of what was going on and appreciate who the Christ was. So the idea of word for the Greeks was the mind of God or reasoning. In their minds, everything that existed because of God. So John is saying to the Greek world, Jesus is the mind of God in human form. It is a concept that is so big that our finite minds have difficulty understanding it. Jesus was in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit, but he came down to this earth in the form of a human being. He walked among us and he subjected himself to all of our human weaknesses, even though he was God in human form. He walked on earth for 33 years, but most people never even recognized him. They thought him to be a carpenter's son. Whatever Jesus does, he does with grace. Whatever Jesus says, he says in truth. Scripture tells us this. If we want to understand what God is like, all we have to do is look to Jesus. God came to us in Jesus, in the Christ child baby born in a manger. And because of that, anytime we come against hostility or hatred, we can break the silence because of what Christ offers and what God has offered each of us, a word of grace. The true light of that first Christmas, the light that shines in the darkness, Scripture tells us the darkness cannot overcome. Now, that doesn't mean that darkness will not try or attempt to overcome the light, but its efforts will be unsuccessful because the light of God always prevails, even in the darkest hours of history. Light equals life. Light of Christ has come into our lives. Do we see this light as a disturbance, or do we see this light as life, as the shepherds did? The light brings peace, comfort, reconciliation, hope, joy, all of these things to our lives. The light came into the world where he could be seen and enlighten human understanding. And in spite of all of that, the world failed to recognize him. They did not understand him. They rejected him. They crucified him. There's a story of two brothers. One's name's John and one's name's Tom. Their father died and they left these boys the farm in order that these boys would work it together and stay together. But that didn't quite happen. John got married and he moved to the small town with his family. And Tom, he remained single and he stayed on the farm and lived in the old farmhouse. John is always preoccupied with his family, Tom thought. I do more of my share of work here. And he began to resent his brother. Tom is always so grouchy, thought John. He's so jealous of my wife and children. And a wall of resentment built between these boys. They would hardly speak to each other. They attended the same little church in the town, and they sat on opposite sides of the sanctuary during the Christmas Eve service. John was troubled by the fact that they hardly acknowledged each other's presence in church. And on the way home, John said to his wife, Tom is all alone and he has no one to spend Christmas with. I don't think he would come here. Maybe we should take him a warm dinner. And so his wife prepared this delicious meal, and they put it on the sleigh, and they started towards the country. Now, meanwhile, Tom is sitting alone in his home, and he thinks to himself, life is too short for this. John is my only brother, and he has a really rough time with his wife and kids. I will load my wagon with wood for a fire and gifts for the children. And so he did load his wagon, and he drove towards town. Now down in the valley between the city and the country, there these two boys met, and there was silence for a moment. And then they greeted each other with shouts of Merry Christmas. Reconciliation took place that day at that moment. The light of Christmas was so bright that the glow could be seen for miles away. Many churches do not have an altar call today. Altar, A-L-T-A-R. But you see, the light always issues an altar call, A-L-T-E-R. Jesus calls us to alter our lives, to change it for the better. He calls us to change the habits that drag us down. He calls us to alter our attitudes that separate us from family and friends and neighbors and to be reconciled. He calls us to read our Bibles and to pray continually. He calls us to help those that are less fortunate and to love one another. By doing these things, we will shine the light of Christmas, not only during the Christmas season, but throughout the entire year. The difference between Christmas lights and the light of Christmas are many. There are many similarities, too, between these. They both draw attention. The lights that you put outside your house and on your rooftops and wherever you put them, they draw people's attention. And people come to look at them. I mean, who doesn't like driving around the neighborhoods looking at the beautiful decorations? From the smallest to the most grandest, it all draws our attention. But you see, the light of Christmas draws our attention as well. There is no escaping it. Some will be drawn towards the light, while others will try to extinguish the light. But the light of Christmas will get noticed. Another similarity is that they both bring enjoyment. Seeing the Christmas tree in our living room makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. I just think it's so lovely, and I look forward to it every Christmas season. The light of Christmas is no different. It brings joy and pleasure. When the light of Christmas fills us up, it brings a smile to our face, and it warms our hearts, and it changes our life forever. They both illuminate, they both shine, they both pierce the darkness. However, none of the similarities are equal to their ability. Christmas lights will always fall short, being unable to do what the Christmas light does. Even if your house looks like the Griswolds, it cannot come close to the luminousness that comes through the light of Christmas. And there are some things that the Christmas lights just cannot do that the light of Christmas can. Christmas lights last only a season. The Christmas lights typically go down and put away in January. But the light of Christmas, it burns all year long through people shining this light. Christmas lights fade, but the light of Christmas stays strong. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with every increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We who have been born again have the ability, since we have the Spirit of Christ living in us, to be able to not only reflect the Lord's glory, but for it to increase. The more we grow in Christ, the brighter His light is reflected from us. The more we grow, the more it shows. Christmas lights are temporary, but the light of Christmas is eternal. Christmas lights are only there for a season, but the light of Christmas is ever present. Christmas lights break down and have to be replaced, but the light of Christmas is indestructible. Christmas lights are created. They were made. Anything made of man is unnatural. John 1:1 again says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand. The light has existed forever, but it was not seen close up and personal until Jesus came into the world that Christmas morn. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of mankind. He came to shine that pure light into the world, into the hearts of people, so that they would come out of the darkness and into this wonderful eternal light. Christmas lights are artificial, but the light of Christmas is real. Real as the sun and as the lightning, there is Jesus. He is not man-made. He has always been. 1 John 1:9 and 1 John 2:8 calls Jesus the true light. Jesus said of himself in 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Until we come to Christ, we are walking in spiritual darkness. John 1:5 tells us that the darkness does not understand it. We do not realize the severity of the darkness until the light of Christ exposes it. But even when we understand this context of becoming real, we can still avoid the light, because we know that the light, what it has to offer, and sometimes we dare not step into it. There's a woman from Afghanistan, and she once explained to a foreign correspondent the reason some Afghan women still wear those burqas, those full body coverings that was once mandated by the Taliban. They didn't like them, and they're no longer required, but they continue to wear them. And she told this correspondent, we have lived in darkness so long, we are now afraid of the light. They were so used to living in darkness that the light scares them. And that's how many people live spiritually, afraid of the light. They have lived in darkness so long that they are afraid. And it's so ironic, because physically in this world, we are typically afraid of the dark. But spiritually, many people become afraid of the light. John 3:19-20 says, this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And this is a sad reality. And although people try to hide their deeds, nothing is hidden from God. Whether or not they actually get caught, God already knows. Ecclesiastes 2:13 says, I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. And we might be thinking, well, of course, light is better than darkness. Wisdom is better than folly. But there may be some in this room that are still sitting in darkness, and we have to ask ourselves, why did it take us so long to get out of the dark? Too many of us thought ourselves not to be fools when we were living in the darkness. Quite the opposite. Many people in the darkness see Christians as the fools. Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come as the light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. And because we now see, we now have a responsibility to those who are in the darkness like we were. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus is telling us not to hide the light that exists in us. It's unloving to prevent others from being exposed to the light that we were exposed to. Do we want others to come out of the darkness? Do we want others to see the light? If so, then in 2019, we need to get busy and share the gospel and performing the deeds that are consistent with children of the light. Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" By sharing the light of Christmas with those around us, we are spiritually telling people to wake up. We are telling them to rise from the dead and walk out of the darkness. We are exposing the darkness for what it is. When we passionately share what Christ has done for us, and we rejoice with those that are willing to hear, we will see much more light in this world. Are you letting the light of Christmas shine to others, or do you pack him away with your Christmas lights? Max Vilicato writes this story about cave dwellers. Maybe you've heard it. There once was this tribe of people in a dark, cold cave. The cave dwellers were all huddled together, and they were crying out because it was chilly in there, very cold. With these loud, long wails, they cried. The sounds were very mournful, and the people, they didn't realize it, though, because that was all they knew. And in spite of the fact that there was death in this cave, they didn't realize that either because it was all they knew. But one day, a different voice came in and said, "I heard your cries. I felt your chills, and I see your darkness, and I have come to help." And the cave people, they were quiet. And then it just seemed strange to them that this person just appeared. And they're like, "How can you help us?" He says, "Trust me. I have what you need." And the cave people, they peered through the darkness at this figure of this stranger. And he was stacking something. "What are you doing?" one concerned man raged. And the stranger, he didn't respond. "What are you making?" another shouted nervously. And the visitor just stood there and then turned to the voices. "Here is what you need." And he knelt down and he lit some wood at his feet. And flames erupted and filled this cavern full of light. And the people shrieked and they turned away in fear. "Put it out! Put it out! It hurts!" They continue to cry. "Don't worry. The pain is temporary. Step closer and you'll see." "Not me," shouts one. "Me neither," goes another. "Only a fool would expose himself to that." And the stranger stood next to the fire. "Would you prefer darkness? Would you prefer cold? Don't consult your fears. Take a step of faith." For a long time, no one spoke. People just hovered in the corner with their eyes covered. "It's warm here," the builder said. "He's right," someone said as they removed themselves from the shadows. The stranger turned and looked, and there was a young lady standing there, slowly stepping towards the fire. "I can open my eyes now. I can see. It's exactly what you said." "Come closer," the fire builder says. She stepped into this ring of light. "It's so warm." And she extends her arms out. "Be quiet, woman," shouts one of the cave dwellers. "Dare you lead us into your folly? Leave us alone. Go away. Take that fire with you, shout the others. Why won't they come? She asked the stranger. They choose chill, although it's cold. It's all they know. They would rather be cold than change. And live in darkness? She asked. Yes, and live in darkness. The stranger answered very sadly. Now the warm woman stood there in silence, and she kept peering to the darkness and looking back at the man. Back and forth, he asked, do you want to leave the fire? She paused before answering. No, I can't bear the cold, but I cannot bear the thought of my people staying in darkness. You don't have to. He reached into the fire and he pulls out a stick burning at the end. Carry this to your people. Tell them the light is here for anyone who desires it. Show them its warmth and brightness. She took the flame and she stepped into the darkness. How can we move from darkness to the Christmas light? Not by going to church more. Not by reading our Bibles more or trying to form ourselves like mankind tells us to. Because you see, we can't do anything. We have no power within ourselves. Only Jesus Christ has the light. Only Jesus Christ can illuminate the dark corners of our hearts. We read in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Are you making a difference in the light? Can this community see the light of Christmas in you all year long? Do they know there is something different about you? Do they want what you have? Do you want them to have what you have? 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. This is a dark, dark world. People are trapped in darkness. They need your light. They need the light of Christ. They do not need any more darkness. They need more light. They need Jesus, the Christ. So therefore, put your Christmas lights away, but let the light of Christmas shine all year long. Let us pray.